Greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the many who have come and the visitors who are with us. And the hymn that we sang, it's really touching when we see what we sang says, if love is in the greeting, peace is in it also. It's God's greeting in the Lord. So we welcome you and greet you all in the name of our Lord. And before we read his word, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, thou hast blessed us with another day. And it is more than just another day. It is a day of rest. It is thy day, O Lord, in which we set aside to worship thee, to honor thee and glorify thy holy name. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we have come together in this morning, that the reading and the meditation of thy word would be a blessing upon each and every one of us. That thy word, which is an instruction unto us, would enlighten us and bring us unto an understanding of who thou art, that we would walk with thee and follow thee. Thou had called us, O Lord, unto a high and heavenly calling. And we thank thee, Lord, for this love and pray that thou would be in our midst. Show thyself, reveal thyself unto us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, I'd like to read together from the Gospel of John, chapter number 21. Любезно желим да се прочита из Евангелия по Йовану, 21 глава. Gospel of John, chapter 21. Евангелия по Йовану, 21 глава. We can actually read the last two verses of the previous chapter. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me? more than these? He saith unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me? He saith unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Dear ones, as we read this final chapter of the Gospel of John, I think it is a very moving and touching story, an account of what had taken place here after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And we see that the disciples, and it gives the names of most of them other than two, it doesn't tell us who two of them are, but it tells us that they gathered together. They went to Galilee where they were told that to go and wait for him. They did that, and while they were there, it tells us that Simon Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. And this is the Peter who is an expert fisherman. He was a fisherman by trade. He had given up fishing when Jesus had called him to follow him. They put away their nets and they followed Jesus for the span of 3 years. They went where he went. They listened to him. He taught them and he showed them who he was, and he prophesied and taught them of what will take place. And he sought to build up their faith so they would believe in him. And here we see Peter says, I'm going to go fishing, and the other disciples say, we're going to go with you. And it tells us here that night they caught nothing. Fishermen caught nothing. Morning comes, sun is rising. None other than Jesus is standing on the shore. And they don't recognize him, but he came to meet them. And he says, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he tells them, and we think about this, Peter is a fisherman. He's toiled all night. He didn't catch anything. He knows the fish are not coming. They're not biting. And he says, cast the net on the right side of the boat, of the ship, and you're going to find fish. Peter doesn't argue. Peter simply follows the instructions. And that is something also, dear ones, that we need to consider in our own life. When Jesus calls us to something, you might think that you know better. You might think that you know, but when Jesus calls us to a task, simply obey. Peter casts, they cast the net, and they weren't able to draw in the net. It was so full of fish, as it tells us. And then John, we know, who is writing this, he always describes himself as, never says of himself as I, or he just said the disciple whom Jesus loved. He tells Peter that it's the Lord. This is Jesus. And Peter, who puts on his outer garment back on, doesn't wait for the boat to arrive to the shore. He forgets about the fishes. And we can see that in his life in many ways in the previous 3 years of his walking with Jesus. We see Peter really being that. And even when he runs to the tomb in the earlier chapters, it tells us that John hesitates. He peeks in, but Peter walks in. He's always the one that takes the lead, so to speak. And he hears Jesus is on the shore. These are men who hit all. Just a few days before, they all forsook him. They all claimed that they loved him. They all told him that they would never leave him. And Peter did far more than that, because as we see here, Jesus has prepared a breakfast for them. He's going to dine with them. And we know that when we invite someone for a meal, it's always an expression of love. To break bread together, to share a meal, is an expression of love. Jesus comes to the shore and he calls his disciples together. And he says that there's coals burning and there's fish frying, and he's going to feed them. The last time that they had broken bread together was in the upper room. It was in the upper room that Jesus told them, one of you will deny me. One of you will forsake me, or will, all of you will turn away from me. And this is where Peter said, Lord, these other brethren that are here with me, they might. One of them might do that, but me? Never. Never. Peter had an absolute confidence in himself. In himself. And he tells Jesus, I will not. And so it is on this, in these thoughts, the tomb is empty. They saw Jesus die on the cross. They saw an empty tomb. They saw the grave cloths all exactly as if they were housing a body, unmoved, and yet he is not there. And they saw him. And this is now the third time that he is showing himself to them. But there's something that is looming in their minds that they cannot comprehend. They all forsook him. Peter denied him. He claimed that he would love him and he would never do that. And so this is in his mind. And they don't know what to do. And so they're even nervous in a way, and not really sure what is taking place, because Jesus is with them again. And they know what they had just done. They had failed him, just like he told them. And as we see here, Jesus brings them and he tells them, come and dine. And the brethren of prayer mentioned the call of Jesus. And when we look at these words, come, God started, the first word that we read is in Genesis, where he tells Noah, come into the ark. And he closes the book in the book of Revelations with the words, come. And all that will, come. The invitation was, is, and continues until he returns. And the invitation is to come, and he tells his disciples here, come and dine. He desires to break bread with them and to share this meal with them. They knew it was him, and they dared not ask him. So he takes it, he breaks the bread, he gives them the bread and the fish, and then he goes into what I'd really like to focus on is what our Lord Jesus, in his restoration of Peter, what he does with us is no different. This is when they had dined, Jesus turns to Simon Peter. And he says, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas. He doesn't call him Peter. Though when Peter made that great confession that Jesus is the Son of God, he told him, you are no longer Simon, but you are rather Peter, which we know is translated as a rock. But he reverts back to his name before that confession, bringing Simon Peter back to where he was and where he even is now. In all his questions, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And dear ones, we know that, especially those of us who know more than one language, we know that the English language is very lacking in many expressions other languages have different words that describe far better a certain expression, where the English language is actually lacking, and here it lacks completely. But we can get the full meaning. In the Greek language, Jesus uses the word love in a manner that is a divine love. And, you know, when we say love, we say, I love fish. I love to go look at the sun. I love to do, or I love you. I love God. We use the word love to express everything. And because what do we say? I like it or I love it. When we say love, it kind of brings us all into, I'm all in. I really love to do this. But we use it that's the word that is used in English. Well, in the Greek word, they had different forms of words of love. And Peter is taken to the highest level of love. It was a divine love that Jesus asked him, do you love me, Peter? Why did he ask him that? Because Peter failed him. But more than that, God is showing Peter, I do love you. Do you love me? Do you love me? Brothers and sisters, when we think of that divine love, it transcends any other love that we can ever describe or hear of. When we read the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians on the chapter, that wonderful chapter on love, we can know exactly who love is. It is God. So when we are being called to that love, we're being called to the love of God. And so he's asking here, lovest thou me more than these? So it is Peter who said, all of these, they might forsake you. They might deny you. I won't. So now Jesus is taking him back to that room. And he's saying, you said you love me more than all of these. So now I'm going to ask you, do you love me more than all of these? Peter, fully understanding what Jesus is asking him, and fully understanding it, how he has failed, he says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." But he doesn't use the expression of the divine love that Jesus is asking him. He drops it down a notch to a brotherly love, a love that we are all, as humans, very familiar with. He drops it down to that because he dares not say what he said before when his confidence was all in himself. He knew, he was absolutely confident, knowing for sure he will not forsake him. And here he did. And so now Peter, thinking on that, says, "Thou knowest." He doesn't say, "I love you more than they do." He just says, "Thou knowest, Lord, that I love you." And is it because Peter had denied him three times that Jesus is bringing this to Peter three times? He says to him the second time, "Simon, son of Joseph," he still is taking him up. He's taking him to new heights of love. He says the same expression, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He doesn't drop down to what Peter described yet. He's not going there yet. He says, "I'm taking you to a divine love, a love that will forsake everything and everyone. It will leave everything behind for the one that you love with a divine love, a godly love, a love that is described in Corinthians, and it literally has to take our breath away when we read of the description of that love. He says, what is that love? He says, "Charity suffereth long." This is what this love is. Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth. God is asking you and me today, do you love me with this love? Not because if we were asked right now, if someone asked us, do you love? And it doesn't matter if you are baptized in the household of faith or not. I believe every one of us here will say yes. Yes, I love the Lord. Jesus is going back. He's saying, no. Do you love me? With this love that I have loved you. A love that will forsake everyone and everything. A love that will not puff itself up. And you know, he talks of what, of the doing of a man. Because man sometimes associates what he did. That's the confidence I have that I love my Lord. He says here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love. If I don't have love, what love? God's love. This divine love that he's asking Peter, that he's asking us today. Do you love me? He said here, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Put your name in there. And Jesus is asking, do you love me? Lovest thou me? And he says, if you speak with the tongues of men and angels, I don't even know what angelic language is, but I know that at the throne of God, the angels cry out day and night ceaselessly, holy, holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty. That's the voice of the angels. He says, if you have that, but you don't have love, you're sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. You're just making noise. You're just making noise. But Peter was sure that he would never forsake his God. And so we go and it says, if and though I have the gift of prophecy and can understand all mysteries, Caiaphas prophesied of Jesus, and shortly after that, he led him to crucify him. Jesus himself says in his Sermon on the Mount, when we will stand before him, and he says, some will say, but I have prophesied in your name. I mentioned, I invoked the name of Jesus, and I prophesied in your name. He says, though you understand all mysteries, though you have that gift of prophecy, and you have all knowledge, who can say, I have all knowledge, I understand all mysteries, who can say that? But he says, if you can say that, but you don't have love. No, and he keeps adding, and though you have faith, now we know, he says, faith that can move mountains. We know what kind of faith Peter had. We know what kind of faith Peter had because Jesus called him. When they saw Jesus walking on the water, they feared. And then Jesus spoke and he says, come. Peter, what was it that gave Peter the ability to walk in that water? Two things. Jesus called him, and Peter had faith. That's why he walked on water. He says, if you have all faith, and it is just like Caiaphas, who prophesied of Jesus, led him to be crucified, so Peter walked on water and denies Jesus that he ever knew him. He says, if you have faith that moves mountains, basically that Peter had, where you're walking on water, you have these flashes of faith. He says, when you don't have love, he says, you're nothing. Oh, no. Something. I got to be worth something. There's some. God has to look upon my prophesying, my understanding, my speaking and preaching in his name and teaching others. The Bible says nothing. Man says something. The Bible says nothing. Nothing. Okay. Though I bestow all my goods to give, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Who, I don't know of anyone other than what Jesus has described, the widow who gave her last two mites that she had into the alms. She's the only one that I know of that gave everything. And as far as her, Paul tells us that he forsook everything. Paul tells us that. But Jesus said that she literally gave the last that she had. So we know that Paul was fully willing. He forsook everything. He said, I have to give up everything or I will never know him. So in his heart, he knew that there was nothing that was going to hold him back from loving his Lord. And he said, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity. We would say, well, how can you give your body to be burned if you have not charity? There are many things that are done today in the name of a cause. I've seen people who burn themselves because they want to make a statement about the climate, for instance. Is that a godly reason? They gave their body to be burned. So yes, you can. You can give your body. You can be executed. You can be in prison for 15 years. But if you don't have love, it means, well, you know, God's going to look at my 15 years of service in prison, separated from my family, separated from the church, separated from my life. He's going to look at that. The Bible says it profits me nothing. That doesn't ring good with me. My flesh doesn't want to hear that. And so Jesus is actually calling Simon Peter to that love. To the love that every act of service will be recognized, will be seen as a testimony of who we love and a testimony of who we serve. He says, and you have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Charity's not puffed up and so on. You know, I had a brother one time tell me he bought a new car. And he said, you know, I had to sell the car. Because when I got in that car, it made me feel puffed up. I felt important. I would say, dear ones, that if there's anything in our life that makes me feel above you, two things. I need to get rid of that. And the second thing, I have a heart issue. I have an issue in my heart. It's pride. I'm puffed up. I can, but it's not just the car. It's further. It's the heart. It's the matter of the heart. That's what's important. Because if in my heart, I want that, but I can't afford it, but I want it, you might as well have it, because you don't have love. That's what Jesus is saying. You do not have love. Why? You're puffed up. You want to show yourself as something better than someone else, rather than give that to someone, as the widow did, as we are being taught in Scripture of what to do for others. Why? Not because, oh, God said I have to, so, okay, here's my 10%, here's this. No. I see a need. I can meet that need. Here, Lord, it's for you. Do I do it so I can be seen by you? Jesus said, go ahead. But you got your reward. Your reward was the tapping on the back. Wow, he gave so much. He did this. He did it. That's you. That's what you wanted? You got it. Don't expect anything more. That's a heart that's puffed up. You don't have love. So Jesus is asking Simon Peter the second time, lovest thou me? And Peter again says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He again dares not take himself to that level that God, Jesus, is calling him to, because he knows he failed. And he still doesn't have the empowerment of the Spirit of God. He's still waiting for the day of Pentecost to receive the Spirit of God, which will take him to the love that you and I cannot attain by the giving, by the doing, by this, by that, by professing myself as humble, by showing myself as, you know, how I walk. That's all a sham. It's all fake. Jesus is calling us to a level that only the Holy Spirit of God can take me to. That's it. Only he can take me to that love that he is calling us to. And he says unto him, third time. And now, if we read this in the Greek, it says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, Jesus came down and he asked Peter, do you love me with that brotherly love that you're saying? Is this how you're going to love me? And Peter is now grieved. He's saddened. He knows what the Lord is asking him. And he can't answer him. He can't. He doesn't have that confidence anymore. And he doesn't have the Spirit to take him to that love. And he says, Lord, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know everything. You know my love for you. You know what it is. I don't need to tell you. You know what it is. You know I've lacked. You know I fell. And Jesus is restoring him. He tells him, feed my lambs. He tells him, feed my sheep. And this is, again, if we look at it in the original, it says the feeding is literally a feeding of the lambs. And when he says, feed my sheep, he's actually saying, lead them. And then again, so it's about feeding and leading. And so, dear ones, we are called. If we love the Lord, we are called to service. Service. To feed and to lead the lambs and the sheep of God. I can't lead, I can't feed anyone if I don't have what Corinthians chapter 13 describes as who Jesus is. We read in the Sermon on the Mount the words of Jesus. And we cannot separate that from Corinthians 13, which describes who Jesus is. Because God is love. God is love. Love is God. And God is calling us to that love that will, that does not behave itself unseemly, does not seek her own, is not easily provoked. We're going to say, well, you finally provoked me because you kept pushing and pushing and pushing me. So finally you provoked me. I blew up. What did you expect? I expected more. If you love, Jesus expects more if we love him with a divine love that will never provoke me. Why? Because the object of my love and desire is Jesus Christ, my Lord. I won't go into the lusts. I won't go into the wants. I won't go there. Why? We read was it last Sunday? Joseph, who recognized the onslaught of the fiery darts that the evil one was firing at him. And he says he got himself out. And why? He goes, I dared not sin a sin against my master and against my God. Because every sin that we do, dear ones, it is against our Creator. You can say, well, I did it to myself. You did it to God. And so what? And so just as Caiaphas led Jesus away to the cross, so we do the same thing. We proclaim our faith. I have faith in God. I love God. And we crucify him afresh. We crucify him afresh when we sin. I'm not saying that. The Bible says that. Jesus says that. You crucify him afresh. The Holy Bible, the Word of God, is God-inspired, given to Peter, John, Paul, all who have written those epistles and everything that we have in here. It is God speaking to us. He revealed himself in these last days unto us. And he shows us who he is in Corinthians chapter 13. And he says, and he's asking Simon here, do you love me? And what does he say? He tells him, the Bible tells us here, he's signified by what death he will die. He's going to be led away where he doesn't want to go, but he's going to be led away to a death. And what does he say after that? Follow me. Follow me. So Jesus is asking me and you today, lovest thou me with a divine love? Yes, I say. He says, okay, follow me. Because if you're following me, you won't go where I won't go. You won't go to the theaters. You won't go to the bars. You won't go to places that you're going to see things that are going to take you away. You're not going to go there. Why? Because I won't go there. I won't go there with you. So he says, follow me. Love him with the love that forsakes everything. Dear ones, when we lead and when we feed the sheep, we have to point to Christ and him alone. I cannot give you my opinion. I think this. It's not about what I think. It's about what Jesus says. And so he says, lead my sheep and feed my sheep and follow me. And again, he tells Peter, who now protests a little bit because he sees John, and he asks, well, what about him? Is he going to die the way I'm going to die? And again, human hearts that are not indwelt by the Spirit of God, believing in God, but yet not having the Holy Spirit to direct us into all truth. He says, what about this man? He says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Why does it matter to you how I deal with your brother or what I do with him or her? Why is that to you? You know what matters? He tells him again, follow thou me. My time has passed. I just close real quick here. It says, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things. So John is saying, I'm the disciple that is testifying. He goes, of these things, I wrote these things, and my testimony is true. I walked with Jesus. I talked with Jesus. I saw him die. I saw him arisen. The things that I have said are true. I wrote them. I'm testifying that they are true. And it says there's so many other things which Jesus did, which if everyone is written, I suppose not even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. The scriptures are inexhaustible. Brothers and sisters, when we read his word, it is inexhaustible. We will always be led and fed by Jesus when we open his word of life. It is who he is that is the description of the word and who he is calling us to be today. So the word is going out. The question is being asked of us today. Lovest thou me? Are we going to be grieved? Are we going to be grieved? Jesus is restoring you. He's restoring me to service. Because I will immediately look back on my last days and say, oh, but I have failed. Jesus says, I'm restoring you to service. Feed my sheep, lead my sheep. But the only way you can feed and lead is if you follow me. Forsake those things. Repent. Turn away from those things. Follow me. God is calling us today to that divine love that will forsake everything and all things. The object of my love, the desire of my heart must be Jesus and him alone. Amen.
As Jesus speaks to Peter, his questions teach Peter about himself. And Peter has an opportunity to recognize that the Lord knows everything about him. He knows his weakness and his great poverty. And the Lord knows the same for us. And it humbles us to think that. And we would wish to hide or distract from those things in our life. But it is the truth that God knows all. And Jesus also gives Peter a command to teach him. He says, follow me. Where would I go, Jesus, if I follow you? Will we not go also to the cross? Will we not be reminded of his great love for us? To know our great weakness and poverty before him, and also to know his great love for us. May that work in our hearts so that we would follow him in the love that he has called us to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and to our Father which is in heaven. Amen.